I have often said, it's been a part of my life for decades, there are so many, especially, obviously, in evangelical Christianity, it doesn't take long to tell somebody about Jesus. If the Spirit moves within them, it takes an instant to be born again, right? And the whole emphasis for probably at least the last 150 years, probably by now closer to 200, has been on what the terminology getting people saved. Like you got to get people saved. You got to get people born again. So you tell all these things, you get people born again because that's the whole emphasis. And obviously, that's eternal life, right? But as I say over and over again, that step is the beginning. It's not the end. It's the very first thing that happens. And that's exactly the picture that John's giving you here between just using those two different words in out of those three verses, epangelo, to proclaim, to announce out to you, as opposed to anangelo, to fill it up, to complete what's being said in you. We're going to fully complete it. We're going to teach it. We're going to preach it in the fullness until it's all done. And that's where, again, you get born again in an instant, then you have the rest of your life. And the rest of your life should be every day continuing to increase in the knowledge of Him. Because increasing in the knowledge of Him, according to what Paul wrote in Colossians, is how you are that empowered with all power as His light is being shined down into you. The knowledge of God, 2 Corinthians, that 4, that exceeds physical limits or human knowledge, that knowledge being shined into you. He said, we contain this in earthen vessels. It's coming from the light of the face of Christ Jesus into us. And you say, Mark, all of these things sound so weird. That's because we don't talk about it enough. It's not because it's not true, because it's not only true, it is in fact reality, which we're fixed to see in a minute if I'll move on. So you have a whole life, and it's so much, you know, you go into a church, I remember there, I won't name the name, decades ago, there was a particular pastor who was here in Birmingham in the Charismatic Renewal, and I mean, this guy could flat give an altar call. Some of the children were like, what's an altar call? Because they grew up here, right? But I mean, this man, like when you stood up at the end and began to sing the 47 verses of Just As I Am, and he began to say, you know, if you want this and if you're going to do that, and you would just grab hold of the back of the pew. My friend and I used to laugh, Julie remembers, we used to laugh like, and just hold on to the pew like, I'm not going this time. You know, he got me last time, but I'm not going this time. And then finally, after a while, and it was always so much fun, you know. People are down there, there's boxes of Kleenexes all over the altar. There's people over kneeling on the floor. There's people crying and hugging each other. It's just, you know, it's just an expression of emotion, and it makes you feel like it's just wonderful. It's all great and wonderful. And I'd be standing there, and finally he would get down to the end and he said, okay, and everyone who wants more of God, and I'm like, ah, he got me again. I want more of God, right? So you got to go down there again. And you do that over and over and over and over. And after a while, it's like, yeah, but did you get more? Because grace and peace is multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, right? That's how it happens. It's the increasing in the knowledge of God that causes a thing to take place. And that is a lifetime endeavor. And my testimony is that I thought I knew a whole lot 20 years ago. I figured I knew a whole lot 10 years ago. And now I just realize how much I don't know. Because the word is true. There are things that should be happening. There are things we should be experiencing. There are things we should be doing in the lives of people around us because nothing is impossible. Okay. I'll get off my soapbox. Where are we? This is the message we've heard from him. And fill up, we're preaching, rehearsing it to you. Because God is light, and in him is, stay with me, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Say, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and it says, do not the truth. Right? So, God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. What does that mean? So now I'm back to, like, the day after, because I'd started reading these things. And I remembered that I had made a note before, glancing at some of those things. Like, to me, like, God is light and in him is no darkness. But if you say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, I don't get it. I don't understand. And sure enough, you go dig. And what you find out is, and again, the image that's in your mind. We spend so much time around here trying to be accurate, trying to paint a picture accurately. The more clearly you see something, the better we function. And faith is that expectation that we stand on out from the evidence of the Word of God. So the more clearly we see that, the better we will become at doing that, right? Right? Okay. In our translations, and I was going to bring two other things, and maybe we'll get to them some other time. I'll give you a prequel, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven.